Welcome to Nora Square Investments Active Insights Podcast. Nora Square Investments is dedicated to bringing differentiated active investment strategies to financial advisors and investors through our multi-boutique asset management platform. Today, Mark Goodwin, Chief Executive Officer of Nora Square Investments, and Brian Allen, Senior Vice President and Chief Investment Officer with CS McKee, will discuss the fixed income market and the active management approach of Nora Square McKee Bond Fund. CS McKee is an affiliate of Nora Square and a sub-advisor for the Nora Square McKee Bond Fund, ticker NMKYX. Mark and Brian, we look forward to your discussion.
Thanks, Diane. As you mentioned, at Nora Square, we seek out best-in-class active managers for our platform, and our partners at CS McKee have a proven approach to delivering total return through active fixed income strategies. Brian, can you discuss your investment strategy and approach for the McKee Bond Fund?
Sure. McKee Bond Fund is a purely investment-grade, U.S. dollar-denominated, no derivative, so 100% cash investment vehicle, which can be deemed maybe a bit old school by today's standards, but it was born out of an investment philosophy and process that started in its earliest stages 50 years ago. And with the proliferation of funds over time, we as a balance manager continue to think of investment-grade fixed income and quality and liquidity as providers of diversification and liquidity and a very solid part of any balanced portfolio.
Thank you, Brian. Brian, the Federal Reserve is expected to begin easing rates. Inflation has been steady but above the 2% target, while federal deficits are challenging, and the new administration has shifted various policies. Where do you see the fixed income markets currently, and what's your outlook for the rest of 2025 and into 2026?
For the balance of this year, we'll see one more data point on job growth in early September, one more inflation report prior to the FOMC meeting on September 17th. We'll get some indication as to whether or not the low numbers we saw last month and the very steep revisions to payroll growth the previous 2 months, that's a new trend or an aberration, but it will give us, I think, enough room, given the comments from Chair Powell at Jackson Hole, room to cut the funds rate by 25 basis points. And we'll hopefully wait and see as we get to December. They'll at least be on hold after September's meeting through to December and get a better read on where inflation's really headed. And we've seen plenty of push from the White House to cut rates. And I think the Fed, in sticking to its mandate, obviously concerned about the slowdown in payroll growth, but there is lingering inflation in the services sector, and we're beginning to see some goods inflation in general, some from tariffs and some from continued activity, consumer activity in the market. So it's best, I think, we take one step forward and be patient and get really a better handle on just how long this uptick in inflation will last. It's been referred to as a one-time event. I think most recently that's turned into, quote-unquote, an extended one-time event. So we'll be well into next year before we really see the full pressure on the consumer from increases in tariff rates.
Thank you, Brian. Are you finding valuations to be broadly at attractive levels, or does this vary across the various segments of the fixed income market?
We're actually a little cautious at this point. I think the corporate market, for one, has done well. Spreads are at levels we haven't seen in the last 20 plus years. I think at any point, even predating 2008. And obviously, we did see tighter spreads if you go back to the mid-90s, 1997 in particular. But all things considered, spreads are fairly tight. Obviously, the stock market's doing well. Corporate profits are in the second quarter came in better than expected, though expectations had been downgraded to a very low level. But given the amount of supply in the market and the demand for anything with yield and high quality, I think that market is pretty fully valued. We have seen some intermittent value in the mortgage market. That's been our one overweight in a sector that we don't typically overweight for most of this year, as we thought that it was relatively attractive, and certainly against the backdrop and concerns about a possible slowdown, if not recession, that we'd be better off, certainly safer, in adding value in the mortgage market. And that joins our perpetual overweight to agency debentures, where, as always, spikes in volatility give us the opportunity to capture fairly attractive yield spreads. And with April, in particular, seeing the peak in volatility and fixed income.
Thanks, Brian. Given your comments on the tightening and spreads, where are you seeing the best opportunities to put new capital to work on the portfolio?
In the same sectors, on a more cautious basis, we have, I think, like others, moved up in quality. The asset-backed market, we are always a investment-grade buyer, if not double and triple A only, but really can't ignore the deterioration in consumer credit quality. Certainly, credit cards and auto loans in particular, some of the subprime, have seen some, not drastic, but I would say significant moves in charge-offs and delinquencies. So we are very aware of the fact that the economy, the consumer base in general, tends to be of two worlds, and one who in the upper decile of earnings power, who have been net savers, who owned a home prior to 2020, have seen their net worth, their fortunes have certainly increased markedly due to the strength in both the stock market and the housing market. And for those who are maybe earlier, younger, and earlier in their career, and have been net borrowers, then borrowing rates on credit cards have gone up. Certainly, most basic necessities, apartment rents, cost of food and car insurance have gone up. And if you haven't participated in the rally in hard assets, vis-a-vis home ownership, and or had money in the stock market, it's been a different outcome. So the economy continues to eke out modest gains in terms of overall growth, but wage growth still positive to inflation, but that gap is narrowing. So there's it makes for an even greater challenge for the Fed trying to balance working for the benefit of the overall economy when there is such a dispersion in participants within the economy.
Brian, how are you currently positioning the portfolio of the McKee Bond Fund, either with respect to duration or cash position? I know you mentioned that you're kind of in a cautious mode at the moment, but just give us a broad sense of what that means for the fund itself.
On duration, we've been a little more tactical recently. We've seen extremes in the 10-year or 30-year breaching 5%, or when supply comes to market and causes temporary dislocation, be that in corporate credit or in treasuries. And the one trend I'd say has been in mind and in position on and off throughout the year has been a steepening in the yield curve. We're still working off the rather drastic inversion from 2 and 3 years ago. And we began this year with the spread in yield between the 5-year treasury and the 30-year treasury. And that's one of our more common benchmarks, that as well as the 2-year, 10-year spread. But the 5-year, 30-year spread, which is material to an aggregate broad portfolio benchmark, that has steepened from 39 basis points to begin the year to today touching 120 basis points. That was our target from the end of the second quarter of this year. So we are just about ready to move the other direction on a tactical basis. We still think overall, though, that the steepening trend will continue. And I think in this environment in particular, should the Fed ease repeatedly, and the thought may be that there is some, again, pressure to do so, but I think it has only been a year since the first big move from last year with the 50 basis point reduction in Fed funds, and we saw the market actually increase in yields as a result. So I think we have plenty of concerns about inflation, and the Fed, if we really want to manage market volatility and keep the market as true to the fundamentals as possible, that the Fed should tread slowly, and we don't need to see an accelerated further steepening of the yield curve. one sector that obviously has suffered a bit in the last few years, housing, and certainly affordability is a problem. Rates where they are, and mortgage rates in particular where they are, the Fed getting a little too gung-ho cutting rates, if anything, will drive yields on the 10-year part of the curve higher, and that certainly won't do the housing market any favor.
Thank you, Brian. Do you have any key concerns or risks that could cause a significant shift in your market outlook and likewise the way you position the portfolio, be it consumers being stretched, increasing credit card defaults, or anything else that's weighing on your mind?
Market enthusiasm, I'm mostly now talking about the stock market. We are in sort of the greed phase, if you will. Obviously, leadership in the stock market is fairly narrow when looking at Russell 1000 growth or the S&P 500. So we're very alert to changes in leadership there. Thankfully, we've seen increased breadth in the market over the last few months, so there is some staying power there. Technically, the market seems to be, stock market is in good shape. From a fundamental point of view, it is, we think, a little overvalued. But any sudden change there certainly can cause a sort of a spillover effect. Hopefully, we don't see anything like a repeat of April, and where selling begets further selling, and then you see a spike in volatility and, you know, maybe a more significant sell-off in equities than even we think is fair. And then inflation. We're always back to the thought that if inflation does begin to feed on itself and inflation expectations happen to go north right along with the data in the short run, that feedback loop can be a problem for certainly the bond market, the long end of the bond market. And then, of course, the valuations that are applied to the stock market, and that if that were to come to pass, would again, we would see, I think the retail sector would suffer. And again, that top decile I referred to earlier that accounts for so much, frankly, a little north of 50% of retail sales, we'd see quite a bite in discretionary spending, certainly more than we've seen so far. And then we'll see a little more active Fed, I'm sure, or sort of the top two right now is just investor enthusiasm, sentiment, and looming inflation.
And those are great insights, Brian. Changing gears, how do you see an active fixed income strategy like the North Square McKee Bond Fund being best positioned in the diversified portfolio of an individual investor?
Well, in today's market in particular, with so many levers to pull in terms of duration and yield curve, response to volatility in the market, I think there should be no question that a fund like McKee Bond Fund is better than a passive approach. Certainly, performance characteristics complement the stock market very well. We're very much focused on principal preservation, as well as providing liquidity and diversification for a balanced portfolio. And unlike others in our universe of competition, our fund is always 100% investment grade. It is always a cash market vehicle only. We don't undertake leverage of any sort. And frankly, that's complemented by the fact that we are, in the grand scheme of things, with $7 billion in AUM in the fixed income world, we're nimble. We've got a highly experienced team in one location. We're in active contact throughout the day, every day. And it's our ability to respond quickly to these dislocations that occur in the market, especially in periods of high volatility, that produces very strong risk-adjusted performance numbers over the long term.
Brian, thank you for joining me today. This has been a great discussion, as always.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to our North Square Active Insights podcast. For more information on North Square Investments, our partners, and investment solutions, please visit our website at www.northsquareinvest.com. Nothing contained in this communication constitutes tax, legal, or investment advice. Investors must consult their tax advisor or legal counsel for advice and information concerning their particular situation. This podcast contains certain statements that may include forward-looking statements. Although C.S. McKee believes that the expectations reflected in these forward-looking statements are reasonable, they do involve assumptions, risks, and uncertainties, and these expectations may prove to be incorrect. Actual events could differ materially from those anticipated in these forward-looking statements as a result of a variety of factors. you should not place undue reliance on these forward-looking statements. This podcast reflects the views and opinions of C.S. McKee as of the date herein, which are subject to change at any time based on market and other conditions. We disclaim any responsibility to update these views. These views should not be relied on as investment advice or an indication of trading intentions.